Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. Once a week, new episodes every Monday. At least that was the story before the coronavirus. Now, the Talk to Me in the Car podcast has been converted to the Talk to Me in the Coronavirus podcast. And so rather than doing weekly episodes from my car, we're doing daily episodes right here from my house or from my neighborhood as I'm walking around just enjoying this safe time away from the physical schools. And for many of us, that means a shift to distance learning and the uncharted waters that come with that. So as an instructional coach, I want to offer best practices and best tips. And every day there'll be new episodes that you can tune in for. About 10 to 15 minutes, depending on how much information we have on a given day. Think of it as the best of what we've seen on Twitter or Facebook or the internet about education policy and education practices. I want to keep you safe. I want to keep you productive in this time away from our schools. So today I want to talk all about Zoom and the best practices when it comes to teleconferences. More on that in a second, but first things first, if you like what you're hearing, you want to subscribe to the podcast or leave a nice comment, that's awesome. I'm on any podcasting platform you like, on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, whatever it is like that. Just push the button, say, yeah, I like it. Helps other people find it. And that's super cool. If you want to talk further, I'm on Twitter, at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching. I love teaching, want to get better at it. So connect on Twitter. Let's message. Let's hang out. Let's change the game. I'm in. Last but not least, I have a website, is www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline. I'm fired up to learn, I'm fired up to teach, I'm fired up to connect. And my website is all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. So best practices and tips for shareability, they're there for you. Please use them, please edit them, take the templates, take the multimedia, put your own spin on it, or right out of the box, use it any way you want. Just let me know how it goes. Would love to share as much as I can there. I try to get as much as I can to other teachers as possible. And I have a book. It's called AdrenalineRush.com or Adrenaline Rush, and it's all about game-changing student engagement inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. So I hope that that helps out in this time away from school. Just another tips and strategies on ways to get it working for you. But I want to talk today about Zoom and best practices, because you may have seen online that many schools are shifting to a Zoom-based model or a teleconference-based model, Google Hangouts or GoToMeeting. There's no one answer for how to do digital meetings. And the one thing we can say about digital meetings is they're just like real meetings. People can show up late, people can get off topic, people can be distracted, people can show up at the wrong place at the wrong time, people may not know that they're happening, et cetera, et cetera. Likewise, with the internet, we're dealing with the fact that not everybody has reliable internet access, or if they have three or four members of a family in a house that's small or with unreliable Wi-Fi, that could mean that you have people fighting for a computer or fighting for space or fighting for a quiet area that they can take that call. So it's things to consider for ourselves, that asynchronous model where people can dial in when they need to for like a binge learn or a binge listen is preferable to the one-size-fits-all synchronized, we all log in at the same time. But I want to share some best practices too, because if you are doing video chats, especially if you're doing video chats with students, take a breath. There's a lot of things we have to talk about here. First and foremost, your FERPA compliance extends to the digital world. If you are taking part in conversations with students, think about the type of conversations that you are having with students. And if you would not have them with them in school, you probably should not be having with them online. This is made harder by the fact that students are dialing in from their home spaces, of course, so they're no longer in a place that you can control. Like, my general rule is if I'm talking to a student, even if it is about a private matter, I always try to leave the door open so that anybody at any time could walk in and not accuse any of us of anything that would be untoward or inappropriate. You always want another person there as an adult, as a witness or as a safe space, just so that you and the student know that you are protected. They're not, you know, anything untoward or anything inappropriate happening in a private one-on-one conversation. Now, certainly if this child is revealing information about, self-harm or bullying, suicidal ideations, things like that, we are mandated reporters, and in a school building, it's very easy to hear them out, even if it is in a semi-private area with a door, you know, slightly ajar, but perhaps, you know, out of the public eye. Take them in the hallway, have a conversation like that, but then immediately make our way down to our counseling services office or our guidance counselors or your campus ministry, campus chaplains, things like that. Because as mandated reporters, if they tell you something, and that means that you're a credible adult who's heard a credible threat or a credible fear, we have to report those things. Same holds true for our Zoom meetings. If our students are dealing with, you know, home environments that are less than healthy. And I think that's a very polite way to cover all manner of things. We have to keep in mind what our obligation is then and how we can best serve our students. So for that reason, Zoom has a lot of good features that can help us. And I'm going to use Zoom as the case study, sort of the shorthand, the generic brand like Xerox or Coca-Cola to speak for all photocopies or all or colas. But what Zoom does well is it does have the ability to have sessions recorded. So you'd have like a carbon copy of what was said. God forbid something was to happen. This helps for more practical things that like, hey, I'm giving a lecture. Oops, not everyone was able to make it. No problem. I can take that lecture and save it to my Google Drive. That's helpful because then you can post it up afterwards. And just like you can binge watch a Netflix show, you can dial in afterwards and see the saved video of your third period, you know, science classes lecture with the whiteboard and all that stuff. But some best practices about Zoom, because just last week, New York State actually was the first state to come out publicly and say that they are done with Zoom. They don't want their teachers using Zoom for video chats because they don't feel it's safe. And there's a lot of holes in the matrix. There are certainly some issues with data sharing. That's a real issue. Zoom in March was sharing data with Facebook without people's knowledge or consent. Probably not a good idea, though they've said that they've fixed that. We have to be very careful. Likewise, Google Hangouts is not immune to that too. Google Meet, I think is what the latest version of Hangouts is called, because they had originally set their software up so that when the room was created, you can hang out in, like the Hangout room. Like, let's go to room 123. We hang out in room 123. The teacher hangs out in room 123. Okay, guys, at the end of class, see you later. The teacher logs off. Teacher leaves. Room 123 is open by way of a URL, and that open room is open for forever. So just like you wouldn't leave your own physical classroom unattended, you probably don't want to leave a digital classroom unattended, lest anyone hangs out there and gets up to all manner of things. Look, kids are bored. Kids are going to be up to what kids are up to. In a school, you wouldn't leave them in a room to play with sharp scissors, you know, while you weren't looking. You should not leave them in a digital space where they can play with Lord knows what on the school's watch or on the school's dime. Now, Google has made steps to close those loopholes or close those open-ended things, which is good. But even the fact that that can exist, or habits like that or hobbies like that can persist without our knowledge or without our express consent, do want to be very, very careful about those things. Likewise, in the news recently, Zoom has been the, I'll say victim. I don't know if they're a victim, if it is a hole in their system, but let's say victim. A victim of a series of not just security breaches, but safety and maybe propriety breaches as well. You may have heard the phrase Zoom bombing, like photo bombing, popping up in the lexicon of late. And basically what it means is people are dialing into Zoom calls without the permission of the people who are the Zoom host, the Zoom room organizer, the Zoom chat organizer, and they're posting all manner of things in there, including things that are not at all school appropriate. Because they can come in with their camera on and pretty much put in there whatever they want to put in there, which is not great. So something to keep in mind for everybody, my best friend is a police officer in Washington, D.C. I often say to him, why is that stupid law in place? And he said, John, here's the thing about stupid laws. You don't think you have to write stupid laws until people do really stupid stuff. And what you find out is if you didn't write down the law, people will do it. So if there's a stupid law in place, chances are someone broke that stupid law. That they had to codify it and say, not allowed to do that. So like, don't bring your cow onto the main steps of the county courthouse. Didn't think we had to write that down, but well, here we are. So let's talk about some stupid laws as it relates to Zoom. If you are using Zoom or any other platform that's video editing or video conferencing, make sure that it is password protected. Flipgrid works great like that. Hey students, here's a 3-minute prompt or a 2-minute prompt or a 30-second prompt. Head to this website, enter this passcode, and then only you and only we can see it. Zoom can work the same way. Hey family, hey friends, hey students, hey teachers, hey class, hey PD group, hey yoga studio, whatever it is. Here is our class online today. Here is the password that is for this event. Don't do that thing where you say, free class, free seminar, come on in, all are welcome to join. Here is the link, and they post it up on the internet for the whole wide world to see. Like I said, I don't know who needs to hear this, but once you post things in the open forum, everyone can see them. And on the internet, like I have great sympathy for people who have had their classes disrupted and their lives upended by people who are looking to do bad things. But at the same time, I don't want to victim blame, and I want to make it clear that we can protect ourselves and be responsible citizens. If someone breaks into your house, that's bad. I feel bad for you. If someone steals your stuff, I absolutely feel bad for you. They smash into a window of your car, that's bad. But don't leave things in your car that people can see when they walk by in a parking lot. If you're not going to be in your car for, let's say, a week or 2 weeks and you're at an airport, make sure you put your bags underneath the seats, or you put your, you know, a blanket over things, so people don't have your I would say your CD player, but look how old I am. I don't know, like a nice laptop case just sitting out there waiting for everybody to walk past it. That's not safe. And at the same time, the internet works the same way. If you're going to have a meeting, if you're going to have a place that is supposed to be safe and protected, keep it safe and protected. Give it a password that is only available to people who are in the know. Share it privately via DM on Twitter if you want to have a PD group, or have a Google form sign up where you know the people who you trust then give you their email address. Once they give you that email address, you bulk mail everyone on the list and say thanks to the 10, the 20, the 30, the 50, or the 200 who have signed up. You, and only you, get this specific password and the specific email. Likewise, you have the ability to mute people's screens if you're working on Zoom, to turn it so that you can mute their microphones, and you have the ability to kick people out. Sometimes by that point, the damage is done, but make sure you use those features, use those tools. Likewise, you also have the ability to save video of everything that has been made on your Zoom recording. You can do the same with Google Hangouts. If you're a teacher, that can be really helpful. Hey guys, here's third period class. It's okay if you weren't able to make it. Here's all the settings, blah, 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 blah. But don't save that to your desktop. I don't know who needs to hear this, but for three reasons. One, the Google Drive is much easier to share with other people, first and foremost. Two, if you save it to your desktop, it's going to gobble up a lot of free space on your hard drive. You don't want to do that. It'll kill your RAM to have too much video content just gobbling up space on your hard drive. And three, and this is creepy, but we have to talk about it, videos of you talking to minors who may be recording in their homes or in their bedrooms or Lord knows where else, saved on your hard drive, just is a little creepy. If you save it to your Google Drive and openly share it with everybody, there's no illusion of impropriety. There's no attempt to keep things squirreled away in back corners that are only yours. If you're a 50 or a 60, 70-year-old man, and you're taking recordings of your conversations with 10, 13, 15-year-old girls and putting them saved onto your hard drive, is that the kind of thing you would want a family member or a friend to just stumble across and say, wait, what's this? And how does that look on the outside? If you're a 20 or 30-year-old girl, and I'd say girl because I'm a 20 or 30-year-old boy, right? 20 or 30-year-old girl teaching high school kids, and their 20 and 30-year-old brothers and sisters are like just a little older than they are at 15, 16, 17 years old. Suddenly, me, that cool boy teacher who's like their older brother's age, feels like a kid. Here I'm in a t-shirt, my tattoos, and like, you know, I got my whiskey bottles in the background, and I'm just chatting it up with like kids, you know, just like hanging out, man. Like, you want to be the cool teacher, but you don't want to be that cool teacher. And that's a bad look. If you're a young boy or a young girl, chatting with people who are similar to young boys and young girls, not cool. If you're an older man, older woman, conversations with children, not cool. You want to make sure you still maintain the, not the illusion of safety, but safety itself, and giving yourself all of the same protections and give your students the same protections you would give in the classroom. Absolutely want to extend that to the digital space. So I hope that makes sense. Again, I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but like my friend Brian says, if there's a dumb rule in place, it's because people broke that dumb rule once, and we have to make sure to keep people safe and protected. So here's where we are. Not perfect, it's not ideal, but it's absolutely necessary. So I wanted to mention these things and hope, with our fingers crossed, that we can get past it, because unfortunately, this is where we are now, and it seems like this is where we'll be for at least the rest of this school year. Stay safe, stay home, stay healthy, keep your kids and yourselves protected. If you want to talk further, let's head on to the Twitter at MeehanEDU. Thank you again. We're getting there, one day at a time. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be okay. And if you need anything, please message me, let me know. I'm John. I'll see you next time for another episode of Talk to Me in the Car. Thanks again.